The spate of mass shootings in recent years has focused attention on two major categories, gun availability and mental health services. We'll talk about that second one here today. Mental health professionals and patients and families are always looking for effective approaches to treat mental illness and make sure patients have dignity and freedom as much as possible through the treatment. Medford's Compass House uses the clubhouse model of treatment. Asante Health System in Medford is adopting a sanctuary model for some of its services. From Compass House, we have Matthew Vorderstrasse on the phone. He's the executive director. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And Kathy McNeil's with us as well, the board president from Compass House, also on the phone. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And we also have here in the studio, simply because it was easier for her to get here than it was for her to get to Medford, Laurel Nichols is the clinical manager of behavioral health services at Asante Health System. Laurel, thank you for joining us here on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
So let's start with you. Tell us a bit about the sanctuary model. It apparently looks a bit beyond what is the present, but also a bit into the past of each patient.
The sanctuary model is a particular model of trauma-informed care. By trauma-informed, I mean that each person experiences a certain level of trauma in their lives. People with mental illness tend to have a higher level of trauma than those of us walking about in the community. And trauma-informed care changes our perspective and asks what's happened to this person to get them to where they are today, rather than what's wrong with you. You know, so when someone has behaviors that are dysfunctional, those behaviors tend to come from what's happened to them in their past. So that's what we look at rather than the behaviors specifically and only.
So it's less about chemical or physical issues than it is about just finding out what came before and what might be leading up to these issues.
What leads up to the issues now? I mean, some people have, you know, very mental illness is a combination of physical illness in the brain, of unbalanced, you know, physical issues, but also it's a huge piece of trauma. So someone who has early childhood trauma, a lot of traumatic childhood events can end up being set up in their, not only in their brain, but in their adaptations and the way they respond to the world. You know, to be ill.
So the brain actually works differently. I mean, I think I've read a fair number of studies of that, or at least read about a fair number of studies of that, where the brain actually develops differently,
right?
I mean, physically.
Trauma changes everything. It's really a huge game changer, and it can change how we think, how we perceive the world, and how our brain actually functions.
So is the sanctuary model a residential model? Is it an outpatient model? Both?
Sanctuary model is a very robust culture change. It will change how we perceive the patient on the behavioral health unit and how we treat the patient, but also how we treat each other. It's the reason I chose the sanctuary model is because it is such a complete redoing of all of it. What I know to be true is that people that take care of hurt people become hurt themselves. So our staff, some of our staff has been working there for 25 to 30 years. And through hearing people's stories and taking care of people that have been so badly damaged in their lives, our staff themselves become damaged. So there's a lot of vicarious traumatization. And so the sanctuary model not only teaches us how to treat our patients, but it teaches us how to treat ourselves and each other in a very trauma-informed way.
Right, so everybody should be acknowledged as having needs in that process.
Correct.
Matthew Vorderstrasse or Kathy McNeil from Compass House, can you tell us a bit about what led to the creation of Compass House and what its basic mission is?
So what led to the creation of Compass House was actually the closure of two different drop-in centers that we had here in Medford, Oregon. One was the Hawthorne Center and the other was DASL, which was a drop-in center that primarily served homeless and disabled populations. And when both of those closed, it was during a time of service expansion with Medicaid in this area. And what we actually noticed was that there was a gap in what we would consider peer-to-peer services. And so it was around that time that Stacy Brubaker had relocated from Utah and introduced the clubhouse model to the community as a way to fill that gap, but in a way to do it in a way that's evidence-based. So from that initial introduction just a couple years ago, a working group of us, myself and Kathy and a number of others, included, began working in the community to develop Compass House and connecting with Clubhouse International and attending trainings on new Clubhouse development. And what that led to was us opening our doors on August 1st of 2014.
All right, so really, really relatively new at this.
Yeah, we are we're relatively young.
And so what goes on in the course of a day at Compass House, Matthew?
Well, the emphasis of the Clubhouse model is really, it really is a recovery-based model. And the emphasis of it is that it's not clinical. So rather than focusing on treatment, what we focus on in the Clubhouse are skills and talents that members have. And one of the key components to it is the culture of which a Clubhouse, the culture that a Clubhouse creates. Members and staff in a Clubhouse are not a typical client staff relationship. In a Clubhouse setting, we're colleagues, and members are provided the opportunity to find meaningful work in the Clubhouse and work alongside staff in running the organization.
Also, I would like to add, at the Clubhouse, we provide other meaningful opportunities for members. We refer to the people involved in the Clubhouse as members rather than clients or patients, as another way to really emphasize the relationship and the community building we try to do within the Clubhouse. But those opportunities include educational opportunities, opportunities for employment, opportunities to speak out and become more integrated into the community, and having people tell their stories of their recovery from mental illness and the supports that they need to move forward in their lives.
So is Compass House functioning as part of the recovery, or is it more of a maintenance thing? I'm trying to figure out exactly what role it takes in the process.
So it depends upon the individual. At Compass House, we look for the person's strengths and abilities and their talents. We assume that people have something to contribute to the community of the Clubhouse and to our greater community. And so depending on, it's all voluntary, but depending on what the member wants to engage in, we give them the opportunity to choose how they want to move forward in their recovery. And so we don't provide therapy or medication. There are Jackson County Mental Health and private practitioners in our community who do provide those services. But we provide a step beyond that. Many people with mental illness have this sense of having lost their lives in many aspects, and they really want more as they move forward in recovery. So they want an opportunity to be part of relationships and to have friendships and to have opportunities to continue their education or to reenter the workforce. And that's what Compass House provides for them.
We're talking on the Jefferson Exchange with some mental health professionals about a couple of approaches to mental health treatment, different approaches. Compass House, where you heard Kathy McNeil and Matthew Vorderstrasse, uses the Clubhouse model. Laurel Nichols is the clinical manager of behavioral health sciences at Asante Health System in Medford, adopting a sanctuary model. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your questions and comments welcome at 800-838-3760. The email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Laurel, just in general, is mental health treatment something like public education, in the sense that there are lots of complaints, lots of pressure to do things differently, and then the cycle starts all over again?
I think there is. I don't think that I think there's a lot of improvement for the way we treat people with mental illness in this nation. It's typically been almost a forensics model. We have criminalized mental illness. And so I think that there's a lot of room for change and for improvement. Organizations like the Compass House has just done amazing, made an amazing difference. The Compass House actually comes to our unit and introduces the Compass House once a week to our patients. And the patients that actually become members and transition into membership at the Compass House, the statistics in this first year are just amazing at the like 97% of all new members have not been rehospitalized during the first year of the Compass House. So that kind of opportunity for patients is just fantastic.
I was going to ask if there was some connection between, and the answer is yes, you are able to make use of each other.
Yes, very strong connection. And to watch our previous patients who have typically been, had long periods of instability, come back to our unit to introduce Compass House as members of the Compass House and see their purpose-driven life at that point is amazing and very, very heartwarming.
So is all of the inpatient mental health care at Asante, and we're talking Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center here, switching to that sanctuary model, or is there going to be some mix of that and other previous models?
The behavioral health unit will be a certified sanctuary model. It takes 3 years to become certified. Part of our, we've had two major training and trained 3/4 of the staff so far, but we've also brought in ER staff and critical care staff, women and children staff, because the mental health patient hits every area of the hospital. And also, those are typically areas where the staff has a lot of trauma. So we're trying to also make it system-wide and help Three Rivers with some trauma-informed care education also. And it's just a really important conversation to have. We actually have a community-based trauma-informed care steering committee that the CCOs have brought together.
We are talking about mental health care again on the Jefferson Exchange with Laurel Nichols at Asante Health System in Medford, Matthew Vorderstrasse and Kathy McNeil at Compass House, also in Medford. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Matthew, you sounded like you were on speakerphone. If you are, would you please pick up? And then for either of you, is there still some holes left in the system? I mean, is Compass House is obviously filling some space that was taken up by the other organizations you mentioned before, but are there still places where people have needs and there's really no organization to meet those needs immediately?
So I think one of the biggest gaps right now, and actually we're attempting to begin to fill that gap, is in terms of housing for the mentally ill in this community. First of all, housing in this community for low-income people is actually at a crisis level due to the unavailability of rental properties. Even if you have the resources to get into an apartment, there are very few available, and it's very competitive. And we have 8-10% of the members at Compass House who are homeless and trying to recover from mental illness while living on the streets is a huge challenge to anyone. It would be a challenge to me if I were actively involved in my mental illness. So all of my energy is taken up with just survival, and it's very difficult for someone to manage their medications or to get to therapy appointments or to engage in a recovery when they're trying to get their basic needs met. So housing is a huge gap that is needed right now in our community.
Matthew, do the faces change every day at Compass House?
You know, in many cases, the attendance at Compass House, we do have a core group of individuals that are here on a daily basis. And then throughout the week, we do have different faces that come in and out as we operate throughout the day, and that's just kind of the nature of how a clubhouse is. Because the emphasis of membership is that it is voluntary.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious if that makes any particular obstacles for managing, just keeping everybody in a good place when you got new people coming and going all the time.
You know, in many cases, it's the structure of the way that the work order day runs within the clubhouse is what kind of sets the tone for that. And as staff in Clubhouse, we oftentimes depend on our members to be able to help greet members as they come in, help welcome members as they're coming in, and let them know what we got going on that day. And in many cases, the community itself is what is kind of cultivating, keeping everybody in a good place. And oftentimes people do come in crisis, and we are able to help them. But oftentimes people, when they come in crisis, just getting involved is a way to help diffuse that crisis.
What kind of capacity do you have at Compass House? I mean, how many people can you handle having on the premises on a given day?
You know, on any given day, we have adequate space to keep about, I'd say, in between 40 and 50 individuals at one time.
And so the same question for you, Laurel, at Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center. How many people can you fit in behavioral health at one time?
We have 18 beds, and so capacity for 18. We're always full, and any more, we have people waiting in the emergency department for those beds, sometimes up to 12 to 15 people waiting for beds. There's a lack of beds all throughout the state of Oregon, and it becomes quite a crisis situation.
Now, I know nobody particularly is in a hurry to revert to any sort of warehousing model like we had in the 60s and 70s, where there were huge state hospitals and hundreds, if not thousands, in some cases, of patients. But is there any other step that is missing in this picture between the emergency department and residential care, some other intermediate place where people could go?
There's a lot. I think that there's a lot missing. What happens on our unit is about 30% of our patients at any given time could be discharged. They're stable. They've done what they need to do to get to a place where they could be discharged, and then there's no place for them to go. What Kathy talked about with housing, as particularly supported housing, being a huge need in this community, really affects us on the behavioral health unit. Also, lower levels of care. If someone is well enough that they can be discharged from the hospital, but they still need some caretaking, there's just not enough beds out there for those people. We actually are the only inpatient acute beds for 9 counties, so our drawing area is huge.
So basically 2 beds per county is what you're talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're full all the time from our own ED, so it's seldom that we can get our patients in from Josephine County or from Ashland Hospital. It just is really a crisis. We are, Asante has made a huge financial commitment to remodel our behavioral health unit and increase the beds. So we will be seeing an increase in the next several years.
Up to what?
24 to 27, I'm not exactly sure. It kind of depends on the physical footprint.
Okay, if you can get to 27, you've got 50% more than you've got now.
Yeah.
Let's take a call. We don't have a call anymore from a caller on the line. So let me remind our listeners, we're talking to Laurel Nichols at Asante Health System in Medford about behavioral health services and the sanctuary model being adopted by Asante. Matthew Vordestrasse and Kathy McNeil are from Compass House in Medford, which employs the clubhouse model. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I understand both of you recently got grants from the Oregon Community Foundation. Kathy, why don't you tell me about that for Compass House?
Yes, well, we're very grateful to the Oregon Community Foundation. They have funded us a grant to help us establish some emergency transitional housing for people with mental illness here in the county. And that grant is, like I said, going to be a drop in the bucket, but it is a place to start. The grant is designed to provide 6 to 10 people with supported housing so that they can begin their recovery process and hopefully over time transition to more permanent housing situations. But as Laurel expressed earlier, if you're discharging a patient from the hospital to the streets, it's very hard for them to then continue that journey of recovery and follow through on the treatment recommendations. So that's what this grant proposed, was establishing some transitional housing for those individuals and members of Compass House who are currently homeless. So we have 8 to 10% of our members who have no permanent housing at this point in time.
All right, so the transitional housing again would help some of those, and as well as people, it sounds like, transitioning back from residential care.
That's correct.
All right. And a grant, you also got a grant at Asante, $50,000, I see.
Yes, it was a very generous, very wonderful grant. One thing that we've realized is, first of all, the behavioral health unit has lost money for Asante every year. It never even comes out even.
Mm-hmm.
So Asante has said, well, if we're going to continue behavioral health services, let's do it right, and let's do it righteously, and let's care for the community in a really good way. And one thing that I know to be true is that Asante can't do it alone. And so to have that support from the Oregon Community Foundation just was a real message to us that, yes, we're on the right track, we're doing a good thing, and this is what the community needs.
So between the passage of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, for the people who prefer that shorthand, and Medicaid expansions, Oregon was actually out ahead of the federal level on that. Are there more dollars available out there now for mental health treatment on a day? And we're not talking about aside from grants, but actual dollars that funnel through the patients, through their insurance.
We have less patients that are completely indigent now than we used to. So I think that we'll be seeing some changes in our financial picture. I don't believe that behavioral health will ever be a money maker for a health system. But it is nice that some people have insurance that didn't have it before.
All right. So different models of health care in use now at Asante Health System, adopting the Sanctuary model. Laurel Nichols is the clinical manager of behavioral health services at Asante. We've also been talking about the clubhouse model in use by Compass House in Medford. Matthew Vorderstrasse is the executive director, and Kathy McNeil is the board president. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All right. Take care.